Hi there, it's Leslie, just me again. But I just uploaded just a little taster of our upcoming podcast topic, which is Roman mythology. We didn't upload an episode recently because, funnily enough, Mark and I both had raging headaches, like he had a migraine. I wasn't feeling too great, so we're just going to record later on this week. So I thought, for you guys, I will just read out a wee list of some Roman deities, just so you know, like, just to give you a wee heads up about some of the stories we may be covering in the next podcast episode. So let's start off with Augustus and Augusta. Augustus, I'm guessing, is where we're getting the month August from. So Augustus, the elevated or august one in the masculine form, is an honorific and title awarded to Octavian in recognition of his unique status. Now, Octavian, God, I mean, it would be nice if you just proclaim yourself a god and then people just worship you. I mean, how often does that happen? So, he has apparent divine approval of his principate. After his death and deification, the title was awarded to each of his successors. It also became a near ubiquitous title or honour for various minor local deities, including the Larus Augusti of local communities and obscure provincial deities such as the North African Marasgu Augustus. This extension of an imperial honorific to major and minor deities of Rome and her provinces is considered a ground level feature of imperial cult. Augusta, the feminine form, is an honorific and title associated with the development and dissemination of imperial cult as applied to Roman empresses, whether living, deceased, or deified as Divi. The first Augusta was Livia, and there's a really good show called Domina, which is about all about her and her rise to power. She was the wife of Octavian, and the title is then shared by various state goddesses, including Bonadia, Ceres, Juno, Minerva, and Ops, by many minor or local goddesses, and by the female personifications of imperial virtues, such as Pax and Victoria. Now we go on to B, which we have Bonus and Bona. I like how there's loads of Roman words that are just in the English language, you know, that they actually had different meanings. The epithet bonus, the good, obviously, a wee cheeky bonus is a good thing, is used in imperial ideology with abstract deities such as bona fortuna, which means good fortune, bona mens, good thinking or sound mind, and bona spes, valid hope, perhaps to be translated as optimism. During the Republic, the epithet may be most prominent with bona dea, the good goddess, whose rights were celebrated by women. Bonus Aventis, good outcome, was one of Varos's 12 agricultural deities, and later represented success in general. And then we move on to Celestis. From the Middle Imperial period, the title Celestis, heavenly or celestial, is attached to several goddesses embodying aspects of a single supreme heavenly goddess. The Dea Celestis was identified with the constellation Virgo, the Virgin, who holds the divine balance of justice. In the Metamorphoses of Apuleius, the protagonist Lucius prays to the Hellenistic Egyptian goddess Isis as Regina Calli, Queen of Heaven, who is said to manifest also as Ceres, the original nurturing parent. Heavenly Venus, the sister of Phoebus, that is Diana or Artemis, as she is worshipped at Ephesus, or Proserpina as the triple goddess of the underworld. Juno Calestius was the Romanized form of the Carthaginian Tanit. Grammatically, the form Celestius can also be a masculine word, but the equivalent function for a male deity is usually expressed through syncretization with Celis, as in Celis Aeternus Lupiter, Jupiter, the eternal sky. And then here's another word that I usually associate with like sports or masculine aftershave, Invictus, which means unconquered or invincible. This was in use as a divine epithet by the early 3rd century BC. In the imperial period, it expressed the invincibility of deities embraced officially, such as Jupiter, Mars, Hercules, who's a demigod, and Sol. On coins, calendars, and other inscriptions, Mercury, Saturn, Sylvanus, Fons, Serapis, Sebasius, Apollo, and the Genius are also found as Invictus. Cicero considers it a normal epithet for Jupiter, in regard to whom it is probably a synonym for Omnipotens. It is also used in the Mithraic Mysteries. Next, we have Mater and Pater. Mater, mother, was an honorific that respected a goddess's maternal authority and functions, and not necessarily motherhood per se. Early examples included Terra Mater, which means Mother Earth, and the Mater Larum, mother of the Lares. Vesta, a goddess of chastity, usually conceived of as a virgin, was honoured as Mater. A goddess known as Stata Mater was a compital deity credited with preventing fires in the city. From the Middle Imperial era, the reigning empress becomes Mater Castorum et Senatus et Patriae, the symbolic mother of military camps, the Senate, and the Fatherland. The Gallic and Germanic cavalry of the Roman Imperial Army regularly set up altars to the mothers of the field, which, oh, campus means field, that's interesting, with the title Matris or Matronae. Gods were called Pater, Father, which I suppose when you think about it, the transition from the Roman deities to Roman Catholicism, the Pater is the father and father's priest. So I understand, yeah, that's interesting. To signify their preeminence and paternal care, and the filial respect owed to them, Pater was found as an epithet of Dis, Jupiter, Mars, and Liber, among others. Magna Mater, the Great Mother, was a title given to Sibyl in her Roman cult. Some Roman literary sources accord the same title to Maia and other goddesses. Okay, let's move on to actual gods. Oh, there's so many here. So, we have an alphabetical list of gods. We have Abundantia, divine personification of abundance and prosperity. They have a hell of a lot of gods, Romans. Then we've got Acca Larentia, a diva of complex meaning and origin, in whose honour the Larentalia was held. Acis, god of the Axis River in Sicily. Aracura, goddess possibly of Celtic origin, associated with the underworld and identified with Proserpina. I think she's like the Roman equivalent of Persephone. I'm actually going to go back a bit because maybe it'll explain a bit more about how their gods work, because it seems quite complex. Okay, so I'm going to go into collectives. Even in invocations, which generally required precise naming, the Romans sometimes spoke of gods as groups or collectives rather than naming them as individuals. Some groups, such as the Caminae and Parsae, were thought of as a limited number of individual deities, even though the number of these might not be given consistently in all periods and all texts. The following groups, however, are numberless collectives. So there's the Spatial, Tripartian. Varro grouped the gods broadly into three divisions of heaven, earth, and underworld. The Superi, or Superi, the gods above or heavenly gods, whose altars were designated as Altaria. The Terrestres, terrestrial gods, whose altars were designated as Ari. And De Inferi, the gods below, that is, the gods of the underworld, infernal or chthonic gods, whose altars were foci, fire pits, or specially constructed hearths. More common is a dualistic contrast between Superi and Inferi. I quite like that idea. Like, so I guess, again, it sort of transitions into Christian mythology, where you have, like, the angels and the heavenly, divine, good gods or whatever, like, up in the heavens. I don't know about the earth one. I suppose that would be like Jesus coming to earth or something and his disciples, but I don't think his disciples are really gods, so I don't know. And then you've got like the fire and brimstone, where I don't think in Roman times the underworld gods were in like actually evil or anything. I think they were just, their job was to ferry the dead, but they didn't venture into the, like, onto earth plane. But then that transitioned into Christian mythology, into demons and so on and so on. The De Ig and the Getes were fought by Georg Wissowa to be Rome's indigenous deities. In contrast to the Novocides or Novocelles newcomer gods, no ancient source, however, poses this dichotomy, which is not generally accepted among scholars of the 21st century. The meaning of the epithet indiges singular has no scholarly consensus, and novin may mean nine, novem, rather than new. Roman god lists. So we've got triads. The Archaic Triad, which is Jupiter, Mars, and Quirinus. Never heard of him. Capitoline Triad, Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva. Plebeian or Aventine Triad, Ceres, Liber, or Libera, dating to 493 BC. Groupings of 12. So we have Alectus Ternium is a banquet for the gods at which they appear as images seated on couches, as if present and participating. In describing the Alectus Ternium of the 12 great gods in 217 BC, the Augustan historian Livy places the deities in gender-balanced pairs. So you have Jupiter and Juno, Neptune and Minerva, Mars and Venus, Apollo and Diana, Vulcan and Vesta, Mercury's and Ceres. Divine male-female complements such as these, as well as the anthropomorphic influence of Greek mythology, contributed to a tendency in Latin literature to represent the gods as married couples, or, as in the case of Venus and Mars, lovers. De Consentes. Varro uses the name De Consentes for 12 deities whose gilded images stood in the forum. These were also placed in 6 male-female pairs. Although individual names are not listed, they are assumed to be the deities of the Lectisternium. A fragment from Ennius, within whose lifetime the Lectisternium occurred, lists the same 12 deities by name, though in a different order from that of Livy. Juno, Vesta, Minerva, Ceres, Diana, Venus, Mars, Mercurius, Jove, Neptunus, Vulcanus, and Apollo. The De Consentes are sometimes seen as a Roman equivalent of the Greek Olympians, as in, like, the top tier gods that live in the heavens. The meaning of consentes is subject to interpretation, but is usually taken to mean that they form a council or consensus of deities. De Flaminales. The three Roman deities cultivated by major Flamins, Jupiter, Mars, and again Quirinus. I think I'll look into him for our actual, like, longer podcast. The 12 Roman deities attended by minor Flamins, Carmentis, Pomona, Ceres, Portunus, Thalasser, Vulcan, Flora, Volturnus, Farina, Palatua. De Selecti. Varro gives a list of 20 principal gods of Roman religion. So we have Janus, Jupiter, Saturn, Genius, Mercury, Apollo, Mars, Vulcan, Neptune, Sol, Orcus, Liber, Tellus, Ceres, Juno, Luna, Diana, Minerva, Venus, and Vesta. Then we have the Sabine gods. Varro, who was himself of Sabine origin, gives a list of Sabine gods who were adopted by the Romans. So we have Feronia, Minerva again, Novincides, Pales, Salus, Fortuna, Fons, Fides, Ops, Flora, Vediovis, Saturn, Sol, Luna, Vulcan, Semanus, Larunda, Terminus, Quirinus, Vortimus, Laris, Diana, and Lucina. I feel like the Romans just sort of, like, pick and choose their gods from other cultures. I don't know if they have, like it mentioned earlier, like, their actual indigenous gods or deities. So it's really strange if they, either they're proclaiming themselves gods and having that go down the line, or they're just picking and choosing from different cultures and then adapting it to themselves, which I guess, again, they did with Christianity to retain whatever power they had in the empire. Elsewhere, Varro claims Sol Indigenes, who had a sacred grove at Lavinium, as Sabine, but at the same time equates him with Apollo. Of these listed, he writes, several names have their roots in both languages, as trees that grow on a property line creep into both fields. Saturn, for instance, can be said to have another origin here, and so too Diana. Varro makes various claims for Sabine origins throughout his works, some more plausible than others, and his list should not be taken at face value. But the importance of the Sabines in the early cultural formation of Rome is evidenced, for instance, by the bride abduction of the Sabine women by Romulus's men, and in the Sabine ethnicity of Numa Pompilius, second king of Rome, to whom are attributed many Rome's religious and legal institutions. Varro says that the altars to most of these gods were established at Rome by King Titius as a result of a vow, a votum. Yeah, I remember that whole stupid song in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers about the sobbing women, and that's how they justified kidnapping all the ladies from the town to marry them, which is really not cool. And then we have the Indigia Tamenta. So these are deities known only or primarily as a name. They may be minor entities or epithets of major gods. Lists of deities were kept by the College of Pontiffs to assure that the correct names were invoked for public prayers. See, there you go, pontiff, that's a Catholic thing, isn't it? Which I didn't realise was originated in ancient Rome as well, so they moved that on to Christianity. The books of the pontiffs are lost, known only through scattered passages in Latin literature. The most extensive lists are provided by the church fathers, who sought systematically to debunk Roman religion while drawing on the theological works of Varro, also surviving only in quoted or referenced fragments. W. H. Rosher collated the standard modern list of Indigitamenta, though other scholars may differ with him on some points. Which, again, leads us back to the alphabetical order of Roman gods. So I'll just, I'll read a few more. So, A. Angerona, a goddess who relieved people from pain and sorrow. Angitia, a goddess associated with snakes. And Medea, Anna Perenna. She was an early goddess of the circle of the year. Her festival was celebrated on March 15th. Annona, the divine personification of the grain supply to the city of Rome. Antivorta, goddess of the future and one of the Canamae, also called Porama. Apollo, god of poetry, music and oracles, and one of the De Consentes. Aramanias, an obscure Mithraic god. Well, doesn't say what he does. Aura, often plural aurae, the breezes. Aurora, goddess of the dawn, hence like the aurora borealis, which we often see as a sort of green light in the sky, usually around Iceland or North Scotland you can see it. Averuncus, a god propitiated to avert calamity. And we get to B. Bacchus, one of my favourites, the god of wine, sensual pleasures and truth, originally a cult title for the Greek Dionysus and identified with the Roman Liber. He likes to party. Bellona or Julona, she's a war goddess. Bonadea, the women's goddess with functions pertaining to fertility, healing and chastity. Bonus Aventus, divine personification of good outcome. Bubona, goddess of cattle. And we get to see. So we have Caca, an archaic fire goddess, and Proto-Vesta, the sister of Cacus. Cacus, originally an ancient god of fire, later regarded as a giant. Salius, god of the sky before Jupiter. Camene, goddesses with various attributes including fresh water, prophecy and childbirth. There were four of them, Carmenta, Egeria, Antivorta and Postvorta. Cardia, goddess of the hinge, identified by Ovid with Carna. Carmenta, goddess of childbirth and prophecy, and assigned a flaming minor, the leader of the Camene. Carmentis, two goddesses of childbirth, Antivorta and Postvorta, or Parima, future and past. They all sort of merge in with each other, it's weird. Carna, goddess who preserved the health of the heart and other internal organs. Ceres, goddess of the harvest and mother of Proserpina and one of the Dei Consentes, the Roman equivalent of Demeter. I think she's the goddess of spring. Clementia, goddess of forgiveness and mercy. Cloacina, goddess who presided over the system of sewers in Rome, identified with Venus. They've got a goddess of the sewers. Concordia, goddess of agreement, understanding and marital harmony. Consus, god protecting grain storage. Cupid, which we all know, Roman god of love, the son of Venus, an equivalent to the Greek Eros. Cura, personification of care and concern, who according to a single source, created humans from clay. Sibyl, an imported tutelary goddess often identified with Magna Mater, the great mother. I'm not going to read all of them because it's going to take me all night, so I think I'll go as far as F and then I'll leave it at that, and then you can ponder. We can go over it later with, like, I think Mark and I will probably just pick and choose what gods we find interesting and go over their stories. So we have D, Dea Dia, the goddess of growth. Dea Tacita, the silent goddess, a goddess of the dead, later equated with the earth goddess, Laurentia. Dea Tertiana and Dea Quartana, the sister goddesses of Tertian and Quartan Fevers, presumably daughters or sisters of Dea Febris. Decima, minor goddess and one of the Parsi, Roman equivalent of the Mari, the measurer of the thread of life. Her Greek equivalent was Lachesis. Devera or Devera, goddess who ruled over the brooms used to purify temples in preparation for various worship services, sacrifices and celebrations. She protected midwives and women in labour. Diana, goddess of the hunt, the moon, virginity and childbirth. Twin sister of Apollo and one of the Dei Consentes. Diana Nemorensis, local version of Diana, the Roman equivalent of Artemis. Discordia, personification of discord and strife, the Roman equivalent of Eris. Diasphidius, god of oaths associated with Jupiter. Dianferi, deities associated with death and the underworld. Disciplinia, personification of discipline, I think that one's pretty obvious. Dispater or Dispater, god of wealth in the underworld, perhaps a translation of Greek Pluton, Pluto. E. Egeria, water nymph or goddess, later considered one of the Camene. Empanda or Panda, a goddess whose temple never closed to those in need. Oh, that's lovely. Epona, Gallo-Roman goddess of horses and horsemanship, usually assumed to be of Celtic origin. And finally, I'll go through all the Fs. So we have Phalliser or Phalliser. He was an obscure god and he was assigned a minor flamen. Again, I don't really know what he's supposed to do. Fema, goddess of fame and rumour. Hence the name where we get the word famous from. Phasinus, a phallic god who protected from envidia, envy and the evil eye. So what was he, a giant penis? I guess if they call him a phallic god. Or fertility, maybe? Fauna, goddess of prophecy, but perhaps a title of other goddesses, such as Maya. Faunus, god of flocks, as in like sheep or whatever flock it is. Faustitas, goddess who protected herd and livestock. Febris, goddess of fevers with the power to cause or prevent fevers and malaria, accompanied by Dea Tertiana and Dea Quartiana. Febris, god of Etruscan origin, for whom the month of February was named, concerned with purification. Fecunditas, personification of fertility. Felicitas, I've heard that before, personification of good luck and success. Ferentia, or Fiorentina, patron goddess of the city, Ferentinum Latium, protector of the Latin Commonwealth. Feronia, goddess concerned with wilderness, plebeians, freedmen and liberty in a general sense. She was also an underworld goddess. So I guess she's like the goddess of the working class. Fides, personification of loyalty. Flora, goddess of flowers, was assigned a flamen minor. Fornax, goddess probably conceived of to explain Fornicalia, the oven festival. Fontis or Fons, god of wells and springs. Fortuna, goddess of fortune. Fifflins, goddess of, the god of wine, natural growth and health. He was adopted from the Etruscan religion. Fulgora, personification of lightning. And finally, Farina, goddess whose functions are mostly unknown, but in archaic times important enough to be assigned a flamen. I wonder what these unknown gods did. I think it's a shame because if people don't remember what they did, then they kind of become like a sort of dead god, I suppose. I do believe that to keep the gods alive, you have to remember their name and their function. Otherwise, they're just, you know, ghosts or dead. Or it's a shame they have no power anymore, if you believe in that kind of thing. I do believe in the power of names, but that's based on like ancient Egyptian religion, whereas Isis found out Ra's secret name, so that granted her great power, and so on and so on. But anyway, so on Friday, Mark and I will record a new episode, and we'll just pick some of our favourite different gods and goddesses from Roman mythology, and just go over different interesting bits that we like and find amusing. And yeah, hopefully you will listen to that. And thank you for listening to this podcast and this episode. And yeah, check out our earlier episodes if you haven't. There's a lot of them. And yeah, I'll just say goodbye. Talk to you later.